This message was pre-recorded by the My Generation Church. We pray that it provides you with hope, truth, conviction, and the vindicated image of Jesus. My Generation Church is located in the heart of Harlem, New York. Our services are on Saturdays at 12 noon. Be blessed and enjoy the message.
Oh, all right. It is the last Sabbath of 2025, and the Lord has done amazing for the My Generation Church. Just the intro alone, showing where we've come from and where we are now in this new era that we're in. God has really given us a lot. And so I would have much rather wanted to be in the room to preach this. But it's the last Sabbath of the year, and I feel like we need to send off our increase theme the right way. And so thank you guys, my partners, for being with me today. You could have easily signed off at this point of the service and joined on YouTube. But thank you guys for that. And I just hope that God is going to do something extremely special. Today we are gonna be looking at the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verses 27 to 30. John chapter 3 verses 27 to 30. Word of the Lord says, oh, great, my mouse is working, great. Word of the Lord says, John answering and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Our message today is entitled Decrease. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this amazing year. Thankful for an amazing church. Thankful for all the things you have given us. All the reasons why we can praise you and give you thanks for the increase. But now, God, you must increase and we must decrease. So help us to understand the gravity of where we are, the crucial point in the narrative of the My Generation Church, and where we are to where we need to go. Give us clarity of thought. Help us to see who you are, to see who we are, to see who you call for us to be. This is our prayer today, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, family, question for you. When you hear John's words of decrease, he must increase, I must decrease, what does that prompt you to believe? When you hear John saying, I need to decrease, what do you think? And I'm literally asking you, so you can unmute. What do you literally feel is expressed by his desire to want to increase, or rather to want to decrease? Oh, you unmuted, but then you said nothing. He's out. No, forget it. I got nothing.
I was going to say something, but then I was like, let me think about that again.
Okay. Well, Tasha is good. We must get rid of pride so that Christ can enter our lives. Thank you, Tosh.
Yeah. I like the analogy that John used, though. When you have the wedding, the best man is not the most important man. The groom is. It's not his day, you know? So the best man starts showing up. It's like, no, there's something wrong with you. It's the groom's day. So it's like, I'm here to celebrate with you. I'm not, it's like another girl coming to the wedding in white.
Mercy. Apparently that's bad.
That's horrible. That's just wrong. That's wrong. It's only the bride supposed to be white, right? So it's like, I'm not trying to take Jesus's shine. He must be glorified. I need to step to the back, just be a vessel. This is not my time to shine. Mm-hmm.
What I'm reminded of is something that Cassie and I discussed the other day about how it's weird that certain churches will be advertising, asking people to come, but their big advertisement is the fact that they are led by Reverend something, 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 you know? And to me, it always felt weird that, like, mm-hmm. you're advertising for this person as the speaker rather than who it's about.
Mercy. Yeah,
and I think that's what this is calling you for. Mm. It's calling you to get your face off the billboard and put your correct face up.
You preaching.
That's good. That's really good.
That's really good. I was thinking about the verse where it says, I'm filled with joy at his success. My version says, I'm looking at NLT. And oftentimes, like, when you hear the word, you know, like, decrease, you decrease your importance, right? But a lot of times it can be bitter, or sometimes you could feel envy or jealousy. But in this case, the important thing is, even though you're decreasing yourself, don't decrease the joy. Still have that joy and that excitement, because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And to feel excitement and be happy at that success.
It's good.
Yeah.
You got some more tea? Oh, okay, you good. You go. Okay. So when I was reading the book John for Everyone, Part One by N.T. Wright, N.T. Wright mentions a quote that says that John the Baptist is articulating in this expression of Christ increasing and him decreasing. He expresses the theological law of how God works, how he's worked in history, how he's worked in identity, how he's worked in transformation. That, better yet, that everything that you see, everything that you hear from John isn't necessarily a denial for himself, in as much as it's a recognition of how the order of God must take place. The word must, right? It's a word that is better described as a word of divine necessity, right? That John is not just choosing to step aside. He's not just saying, oh, you know, you got it now. You know, I must decrease and, you know, you must increase. It's not just John, it's not John choosing to step aside. It's John recognizing this is the order of God. This is God's order of reality, and God's order of reality demands that I step aside. It suggests that there needs to be a movement. There needs to be an exchange. There needs to be a change of order. That in scripture, increase of God's revelation always requires decrease from the previous form. Not because the old form was bad, but because it was only preparatory. it also suggests some other things, right? It suggests, in a way, it suggests the only way for John to admit that he needs to decrease is if he wasn't in a situation when he was already increased, right? Like, why would he say, I must decrease? If he didn't feel that he was at a place in a space where he was elevated. Come on, my dear. We have been given increase for the entire year. And just like John the Baptist, it's important for us to realize that in our moment of increase, that it's not necessarily increase for increase sake, but it was increase to prepare us for a new season. Okay. That we must decrease now in order for the plan of God to work itself out, in order for the plan of God to be seen in a way, to be felt in a way, to be received in a way that the mission is fulfilled. You guys with me, everybody? You guys with me? And so I'd like to introduce a phrase in biblical theology that's called the threshold figure. Man, I wish Alicia is here. The threshold figure. Watch this. The John the Baptist occupies a unique role. Put yourself in the shoes of John the Baptist here for a second. John the Baptist plays a unique role. He is the last prophet of the Old Covenant. And he's the first witness of the new. He's the last one to speak, recognizing the law and the Torah and all the old promises of the past. And yet he's literally witnessing the fulfillment of that prophecy, of all the prophecies of the Old Testament in Jesus, while Jesus is walking into the River of Jordan. And so you have to understand this threshold figure that John is. John is the one that is responsible of carrying the torch, of passing it from the old to the new. That watch this, that he stands in the doorway between two eras. And in biblical theology, a threshold figure, threshold figures always have to disappear once the crossing happens.
Okay.
Remember Moses. A lot of us, we see Moses as the Christ figure. But I would suggest that Moses is not the Christ figure. Moses was the John to Jesus's Joshua, or Joshua's Jesus, okay? That Moses only was able to get them to the promised land, but not allowing them to cross over. Are you with me? That Elijah has to ascend before he tried. And so Elijah continues the particular message. John now is beheaded. His ministry ends. You realize this? The importance of recognizing that anyone who is given increase in the ministry of God always realizes there needs to be a space when the Lord grants you something to realize that it's for a season, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose, it's for an ultimate will. And when that is accomplished, there needs to be time for threshold. There needs to be time to transition. There needs to be time to pass things over. If I was at church, I would say, if you with me, say amen. And so if you look at John, if you look at John as the threshold figure, notice the comparison between him and Jesus. Okay. John the Baptist was preaching messages, and when he preaches his message, he preaches the message and he says, "You must repent. Repent, 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 repent." Before everything that John says about you repenting, Jesus says, "You must be reborn." John says you need to repent. Jesus says you need to be reborn. John baptizes with water. Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. John prepares the way. Jesus fulfills the way. Jesus is the way. John brings moral awakening. John gives you the awareness of your sin. But Jesus lives out his life in us so that there is no sin. And so we realize that the threshold figure can only do so much. And that everything that John is incomplete without Jesus. Imagine if you were only doing threshold ministry. Okay, I'm not there yet. Stay with me here. And so there's a limit to any spiritual transformation when you don't decrease. I wish I was talking to a church here.
Amen.
There's a limit
Amen.
To transformation when you don't decrease. There is a limit to the possibilities of what you can accomplish when you don't realize that this season is over and the next season needs to begin. Ask yourself the question, why certain things aren't continuing to work out in your favor? Why you aren't continuing to see more increase in a season where you thought increase was continuing to perpetuate itself? There is a limit to what the church of God, to what the people of God can be when we only see ourselves as the answer. I'm gonna get to there in a second, but let me give you one more analogy. Think about the sanctuary, right? The courtyard, the holy place, the most holy place. Think about the sanctuary. You have to understand the reason why I bring up the sanctuary is in Jewish ideology, a lot of people see the understanding of God and the closeness of God in response to space, as they see the sanctuary, and that they only get closer to God the more they move closer into the sanctuary, right? And so you got to see then John sort of functions like the courtyard. All the activities that you see in the courtyard is necessary. It's sacred, but it's not the destination. Okay. That you need to make sacrifices. I get it. You need to wash your hands at the laver. I get it. You need to you know slaughter the lamb. You need, these things are important, but these things aren't the destination. These things aren't the things that fulfill us. These aren't the things that ultimately is the reason behind why we do these things. And so a great man once said, you do not set up camp in the doorway once you enter the house.
That's a word.
You don't walk into somebody's house. You don't walk into your house.
Mm-mm.
And the second you walk into the door, you make your bed.
Mm. Mm-mm.
There's more for you. There's more to do. There are more ways to go. There's a deeper and a more profound way that Christ ultimately is the greater goal. Christ is the greater destination. And so, family, listen to me. There is a need for us, the My Generation Church. There's a need for us in our season of increase. In our year of increase, yes. Right now, as we are transitioning now into Pursue, and we're transitioning now into 2026, and ultimately 2027, our 10-year anniversary.
Oof.
There's a need for us to decrease. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by decrease, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. The reason why it's important for us to decrease is decrease in the areas by which we function, thinking that these are the only ways by which we are blessing people or for us to be blessed. Okay. because I understand, like the sanctuary, that what we do is sacred. The activities and the things in which we do, right, is necessary. I understand the functionalities of it. But the reality is, if it's not pointing people to Jesus, if the couches and the lights, and if it's not bringing people to Jesus, then what's the point? It means nothing. It means nothing. All of what we do and all the things in which God has given us means absolutely nothing if we are not finding reasons to get people to the destination that gets people to see Jesus. We need to decrease. Okay. Let me help somebody understand this a little better. Do you know that the reason why MyGen exists is because there are churches in the past that didn't know how to decrease? Do you know that there are churches, there are ministries right now that have failed in their role and their responsibility as threshold figures of doing the job of lifting up Christ because they were too busy holding on to old things that they considered to be sacred? Okay. They held on to old ideologies. They held on to old roles. They held on to old responsibilities, old positions. And so because there was no reason or no room for them to continue to do and to work, to become innovative and to change the things that are necessary for church, that's the reason why many people stopped going to that church. That's the reason why a lot of people gave up on that ministry. You know why? Because that ministry wasn't doing anything to increase Jesus. I must decrease. He must increase. Do you understand that that's the reason why that relationship failed for you? Because they didn't know how to change. That's the reason why that relationship failed, because they didn't know, they didn't understand why it was important for them to continue to move and to do more for the sake of lifting up something that is greater than where they just came from. There's a need to decrease in order for him to increase. And this is not a choice of John's. This is a necessity of John. John needs to move aside because you are hindering the work. Let me be more specific. Let me make sure that I'm clear here in the last Sabbath of 2025 that if a method is not working at the My Generation Church, it's going to end. And I'm not waiting until a calendar year for it to end. We need to do whatever is important to lift up Christ. And sometimes the problem with institutions, the problem with systems, is that there's no way, there's no room for Christ to increase because you are so self-involved in how things are, in how things look, or how I fit in the system. If you're with me, type amen. Decrease is often the test. Receive this, family. Decrease is often the test of whether someone serves God or serves their role. Decrease is often the test on whether you're doing it God's way or you're doing it your way. Put it in any area of your life. When you are willing to say, I'm not going to do it my way, I must decrease and Christ must increase. When you're able to make that work, N.T. Wright, same book. His quote, he says, John doesn't lose meaning by decreasing. Okay. My Lord. T, are you listening?
I said it. I didn't even read the book. I'm going to buy the book.
Oh, my Lord.
Go ahead.
Oh, my Lord. He says, John doesn't lose meaning by decreasing. His meaning is fulfilled by it. That's why he says in verse 29, he says, when he sees the bridegroom, he feels fulfilled. Family, there is no shame in decrease. You should feel as if by the fact that I am now taking my due, putting this away, closing this chapter, having the ability to do something new, it means that everything that I did within that season is accomplished. Everything we did in church and in our personal life in 2025, it now needs to decrease. It was a chapter that was necessary for you. No matter what hardship, no matter what trial, no matter what circumstance, it's all made to get us stronger. So that's levels of increase. Don't confuse, you know, circumstance with punishment. Don't think that because circumstances happen to you, it's you're being decreased. No. Circumstances allow us to become stronger. Even circumstances in our life, Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. Even circumstances in our life are reasons for increase. And whatever the season was that allowed us, that gave us reason for us to increase, understand that that's just there for the time. Because God is setting something up in the future. And I want to encourage somebody who has had a tough year. I want to encourage somebody who didn't see their circumstances as increase, for you to realize that in that there is a reason for something bigger to be fulfilled. God knows, God understands, and there is something greater. Shout out to my mom. This is my mom, y'all. This is my mom. There's something greater in where your life is going. That you're not defined by the circumstance that gave you reason to be in this particular season. If you're with me, type amen. John doesn't lose meaning by decreasing. His meaning is fulfilled by it. So listen to me, family, as I wrap this up. Is that decrease is important for the My Generation Church. It's important for the My Generation Church because it's letting God redefine what success is for the My Generation Church. I mentioned this last week. Decrease always gives us an ability to reassess the things that are working, the things that are not working, the things that are elevating Christ, and the things that are trivial, the things that are just tradition, and the things that are actually impactful. That we're not just doing things for the sake of doing things, but we're finding reason for Christ to find increase. We got to redefine what we define success to be, right? So it's letting God redefine success. Shout out to Victoria. It's letting truth outgrow our expectations. Letting truth outgrow our explanations. Letting truth outgrow our evidences. It's letting the reality of what is give way over our understanding. That there is a peace that surpasses our understanding. It's letting calling evolve beyond comfort. Okay. It's realizing that this thing that I'm doing, this season that I'm in, is greater than me. And so my calling now and my life is not defined by how I feel or if this is working for me. Can I talk to my gen really quick?
Amen.
Can I talk to my gen really quick? Some of y'all are a little too bougie when it comes to church. Some of y'all feel like, yeah, I don't want to really participate. I don't really want to serve. There's still this energy. There's still this complex that you're defined by the season that you're in. And because whatever season that you've created in your mind of what you think that you're in now, you're using that as a way for you to continue to prop yourself up. And because of the increase, because of the circumstance, because of the title or the identity that I have, that there's no reason for me to decrease and say, no, it's not about me. It's not about how I feel. It's not about the circumstances that I'm in. And that the reality is that Christ being lifted up needs more people that came to terms to realize that it's in my weakness that he becomes strong. Family, my gen, we need to decrease. We need, see, it's over, see? We need to decrease. We need to understand the season that we're in as a church. To realize that whatever 2026 has for us in its immediate future needs for people to get over themselves. It needs people to realize that it's about the work. It's about looking and pursuing something that is greater than who we are and where we are and the circumstance that in which we're in. You know, I think when I hear about decrease, I often think about candles and how necessary a candle can be when you are in darkness. And understand this here. Understand this. Human beings are often drawn in to light that finds itself in the midst of darkness because the human mind, the human eye isn't necessarily designed to grasp the full picture. It's trained to receive contrast. That the human eye can understand how one thing is because it sees also the difference of what things aren't. It can recognize the line, not just because of the line's existence, but because there's something behind it that defines the line, that allows the line to become more present, more visual. Stay with me here. That a candle is greatly appreciated because it gives contrast to darkness. And so because of the fact that it's just so coveted because of what it did and how it functions, we feel like, oh, this is the greatest invention in the world because of how useful it is in the midst of darkness. How great do I need a candle? And a candle's great. It's a great tool. Until the sun comes up. And when the sun comes up, here also what physics say. No photons, no light that comes from the candle has decreased. Okay. No light that you've used in the darkness has really decreased when it's morning time. It's just that there was a greater light And a lot of times people don't appreciate the greater light because there's no contrast. Family, we need to realize that our function, our way for getting, 211 East 123rd Street, from us growing in membership, for us and getting all the things that we're doing, that was just a reason for us to hold the candle in the darkness. But we gotta wait, because our purpose was just to last until the morning comes. And if I was a certain type of preacher back in the day, and I would say, and the morning is coming. The morning, it's coming. Because weeping might endure for the night. But joy, it comes in the morning. I know it might have seemed bad in your night. But joy, it comes in the morning. And so, my gen, I'm excited. Because now, as I've mentioned, there are no more excuses. We're not in the school. We're not in the storefront. It's not like we don't have the space. We don't have the resources. No. God has given us everything that we need. God has given us the increase so that we can decrease. That he can increase. I'm excited about our future. I want to pray for somebody in the chat, family who's with me here today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that whatever 2025 was, whatever level of increase, which means also circumstances, that allowed you to be where you are, whatever it is, that the Lord grants us the perspective to see things differently and to allow us to be pushed to the next generation, to the next point and the next phase of our life and the next phase of our church. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. Because you must increase. We must decrease. We're thankful, Lord, that in all things, you have given us reason to be where we are in this season, like a threshold figure in between the gap of two different eras. Well, we know, God, that there's something greater in store for us in 2026. Help us, Lord, to decrease whatever we need to in our mindsets, in our mentalities, in our ways, in our functions, in our traditions, so that you can increase, so that people can see you. Bless us, God, as a My Generation Church, as we're not held to the standards or to the rules of systems, but solely based on what you have for us. I pray for those who had a tough season, who feels defined by their season and doesn't understand the reason how and why you've placed them in this season and how it gave them increase. But I pray, God, that you would give them an understanding of knowing that your ways are not their ways, and that you know, God, what's best. Bless us as a church. Bless us as we move from strength to strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.